It's more than a word, it changes what she hears, what she's heard, what we are and what we once were. One of these days I'm gonna have to take that risk.
Oh, it tries to shine brighter when you walk by, as if it knows that you caught my eye. It's jealous that you light up my life.
Give me my favorite flavor tonight. Strawberry soju dry tonight. I love you with a bit of kimchi on the side. I know that is what I like. Give me my favorite flavor tonight.
Check out the food performances over on our Takeaway Table pages on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, the talent in this room might make you shit yourself. You're not ready for this episode. But hey, you might want to sit down for this.
Oi, sit down lah.
Welcome back to You Might Want to Sit Down for This, because, oh my gosh, this episode, help me help you, shit. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you need to fix yourself. Get your ass on YouTube. We have an amazing plethora of guests today in the studio with us. And you know what? Instead of, you know, yapping on, I'm going to let them introduce themselves, starting with the person on my far right, and this is what you got to do. Introduce yourself, and then shout out your favorite song from the person on your left.
Okay.
All right. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Jesse Barrera.
Sorry. Hey, I'm not a fan, just a fan.
And my favorite Michael Carrion song is his hit song, Simple Things.
It truly is. Beautiful. Hey, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Michael Carrion, and my favorite song of this man's is Hello.
Oh, all right. Over to you, sir.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Albert Poses.
Woo!
And my favorite song of this beautiful human right here is the classic Gentlemen Don't.
Oh, come on. Come on, can you get an amen for that one?
My name is Gabe Bondock, and my favorite Jeremy Passion song just came out. It's called In All Honesty.
Wow, that plug-in. Bang. Come on.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Passion, and I'm guessing I'm talking about Jesse here.
Yep.
It's the song I've been actually listening to like the past month, all week actually, Chase. So I think it's
a nothing like kicking off the podcast with some love, man.
But we all love each other.
I love
very
that.
Much.
You guys are all here in KL. First time? Hands up if it's your first time in KL.
First timer.
First time. Oh, wow. Basically everyone. How are you guys liking it so far?
Beautiful.
It's very warm and the air is super thick. So I'm still calibrating day two. Yeah. And we're definitely a little jet lagged right now.
I love
but
that.
The people have been so great.
Oh, okay.
And dude, those the chicken. The Patronus. Expecto Patronus towers, dude. Those were sick.
What? Honestly, I don't even go to that place. Like, I'm
because you're
I'm
sorry
they brought you there. Like, what is there to do that? You can just look up and be like, well, that's a tall one.
It's beautiful.
It's cool very beautiful, that, honestly. Yeah.
But in that heat though.
Yeah. I mean, I think our skin thrives in this humidity though.
Yes.
Fair enough.
We're all glowing.
Fair enough. For everyone who is watching this on YouTube, or if you recognize these voices, not just from the speaking, but from songs, man, these guys are here in KL for a concert that's happening tomorrow at the time of recording. It's called the Nostalgia Tour. How did this come about? Can someone explain to us who, you guys are basically the Avengers of like YouTube music. Who was Nick Fury? And who decided, yep, we're doing this?
I'm not Nick Fury. But I mean, I just love these guys. I really forget how the tour came to be, but we just chat on iMessage all the time. And I'm sure like one random day we were just like, dude, we've been making music for so long. Why haven't we toured together? And we got in contact with our booking agent, Michael V. out of New Jersey, and he pitched us some dates and we ran with it. We did a West Coast leg last year, sold out. And then the East Coast, that was sick. And now we're here. Extendamundo.
Damn. Oh my goodness, you guys. Like for Ricky, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to share a little bit about my own journey. I've listened to these two gentlemen on this part of the sofa since I was like in high school and college, and I wanted to be like them, and I learned the guitar and counted and tried to figure out how come seven comes after two. that's a inside.
What is Gabe, the math?
It's a Gabe joke with that, but it was like these guys were like, you guys met in inspiration for all the YouTube musicians, right? I want to ask you, how is it like 10, 20 years from then? Like you're looking at coming to a region you've never come to before, and there's a crowd that's coming out. I mean, the concert that's happening tomorrow, what does that feel like? Because you've never met these guys.
It's incredible. I think about it every day, and I'll try not to get emotional about it, but it's like you do something for 20 years and you wonder if people are still listening. You know, you're obviously, you're changing as a person, and you're in various stages of your life. And so your music starts to reflect that, and you wonder if the people who are listening in 06 and 08 are still rocking with you in 2024. Yeah. And it's like to know that there's enough people that are still relating to our art, yeah, and our heart. Yeah. It's like, it's so significant. It's a blessing.
That's bad. Oh my goodness. Guys, so the theme of the tour is nostalgia?
Modern nostalgia.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I've been getting that wrong though.
Some new, some old.
Time. Let's talk about that for a bit. Why was that the name of it? Like, why wasn't it just called Cute Guys Singing Songs?
Yeah, I think it's because we definitely are still making music now. And there's a lot of people that know us from like back in the day and like YouTube days, yep, that actually don't know that we're still making music. Because I remember Albert posted a TikTok like a few months ago, and the comment section was filled with, dude, this guy still makes music, man. And I'm like, bro, we've never left. And I still post TikToks today too. And they're like, dude, this guy is back. Bro, I've been putting out music every single month for like the last 10 years. So it's just, yeah, reminding people that we're still here making fresh music.
I like that. That's the modern part of
but
the nostalgia.
Okay. I mean, these guys have hits. So,
man, you guys are crazy. Okay, so in theme with the modern nostalgia, we got some nostalgic Malaysian snacks that we want you guys to try. So the first one is, hey, surprise us. I don't even know which one we have. So we've got a bunch of biscuits, and then there's like chocolate sticks that I'm not sure is made of real chocolate. I'm going to say yes. We'll start with the first. Yeah. We'll start with the first packet. You can have a pick. Yeah. Oh, Michael, you want to, I don't think they have names for it. So this first one is a, you know what? Why don't you guys just take a bite and then tell me what you're tasting? Cause I'm not even sure.
Childhood biscuit.
Mmm. Hey, that's what we like. You
let's give it a whirl.
How does that? Okay.
Oh.
Cheers.
I smell peanuts.
This reminds me of something.
Oh no, there's no peanut butter.
Is there sesame in this?
But it's spicy.
It is a little bit spicy.
Oh yeah.
We're giving people the ASMR. Okay, this is
wow.
Sorry, what is this? Is there really? Bottom
the
right
biscuit that turned you into a 3 years old kid again.
Nope, let's not go. That one. 3 years old. Is that the white label on the bottom right? Is that on the flip side? I'll have it. Yeah.
Is that turmeric? I taste.
Unit
I
feel like price, turmeric. 45.
Right? Orange.
No, I'm just kidding. Is it the Rema Bazaar?
Yes.
No way.
No. What is it?
That sounds like a name.
So this is one of those biscuits that I feel like when we were young, our parents would be eating.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't feel like something a kid would eat. It's not very sweet.
Yeah,
it's
this,
not very,
is for, this is for an advanced palate. Yeah, definitely.
Let's give a quick rating.
Out of what?
Out of
10?
10. Let's go with 10.
I'll give it it's a 5.5.
That's very generous of you.
I'm chilling around 2-ish.
Oh, cool. We're talking real.
I was just trying to be nice.
I would say 4.
Okay.
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 Yeah, solid 4 for me.
I go with 4 too.
Okay.
I'll go with 4 too.
I mean,
too.
You're starting off easy. Not my favorite. You don't have to finish it, guys. Just put it next to you. Is it called? What's it called? Cow ear biscuits.
Oh. cow ear.
That's nasty. I don't know what you guys. Yeah. I'm not eating that one. Okay, well, that's fun. Next part of the question I want to ask you guys. We talked about TikTok for a bit.
Yes, TikTok.
Are you guys like big fans of TikTok?
I love TikTok. The thing is, it's like pretty dangerous because I could scroll for like 3 hours and it's definitely not good for my mental health.
So that's like the consuming part.
Yes, but making TikToks is fun as well. These guys have definitely gotten more into video and stuff like that. We all have like nice cameras for video and stuff. So it's definitely a part of like what you need to do as an artist is definitely be a kind of videographer, and you got to create movies these days to stay relevant.
Yeah.
So it's, we're embracing the fun of video and social media a little more. Always a battle still.
Yeah. I want to talk about the evolution of like how music has become more and more sort of like self-produced over the years. So I feel like the YouTube era of musicians really took away the power from labels to be like, this guy's a musician. Because then now I'm a musician in my bedroom. How have you seen it evolve over the past 15, 20 years for all of you guys, from just kind of being in your own room, doing your own stuff, but then now there's also that need to, wow, I need to push this on TikTok. Because if it's not, then like no one's watching on YouTube. Talk to me about how you guys feel about this one, because I feel like it's a big one.
I can talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not necessarily as active on TikTok personally for me. I know these guys are super, super good on it. But I will say, you know, YouTube was kind of like a long form way of that people would view media. So then now you have like these reels on Instagram or TikToks, and it's short form. So a lot of people are gaining more content, more videos, a lot quicker. So I think that was the big difference, was going from like these long, I used to do these long medleys in my little green room studio and so stuff like
iconic,
that.
Iconic.
And now you kind of decide, all right, what am I going to do for 1 minute? You know, and how am I going to gain the attention of whoever scrolls past you in that moment in time? But I will say that the transition from going from making these videos in front of like your camera, your webcam or whatnot, to putting stuff out is that, it's seen by more people, I think, nowadays. Although there is a saturation situation going on where there's just so much going on, you know, but at the same time, it's like,
discoverability is what's awesome about the whole world of TikTok and Reels now, for sure.
Does that make your way of creating music and like the sort of content that goes around it different from way back when you just like, you know what, I'm done with this song. I'm going to shoot a music video with my friends and I'm done with it. Does it change the way you approach creating music now?
Yeah, even releasing stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, before it was all about, oh, I'm coming out with this album that's taken a year and a half, you know, to finish. And then now it's like, oh, I'm coming out with a new single next month, you know, and then it's kind of more continuous.
Oh, dude, that's mad, man.
You want to add on to that? I also feel like during the YouTube days, we could do a lot of covers because when, a song like Justin Bieber Baby comes out, we know that there's going to be plenty of searches on it, and our chances of getting discovered by a new, listener would be higher if we covered a song like that. But now, after a bunch of years of, you know, doing the same thing, we get to kind of just focus on our own music.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is better.
I like that. That's great, man. I want to talk also about connecting to your fans across the world, across the internet. I think one of my biggest sort of discoveries from it was that because we started doing sort of like comedy sketches and short films, there wasn't a lot of like interaction with people like outside of the screen, because you only see comments, right? And so recently, I started doing stand-up comedy, and I realized that like being able to go on stage and meet these people who have been behind the screen for all these years, seeing them enjoy themselves out in the open, that was like the game changer. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to make videos anymore. What was it like for your first sort of like, you know what, maybe I should try a concert? So even before like you guys are at this level now where you're touring the world, right? What was that feeling of bridging that digital to physical sort of space? Was that nervous? Do you think the people would come out and watch you guys?
Yeah. I mean, my first time touring was just last year with these guys, and you know, I've been used to...
Hey, sold out, man.
Yeah, I've been used to, you know, being behind the screen, same thing. And like, you know, we did little acoustic nights before, but being able to travel around, you know, the country and now Asia, it's been like, I'm still like in awe of it and still super shocked that we get to, you know, be a part of something like this. So
yeah,
I'm just soaking it all in, and I'm just happy to be here. And it's such an honor meeting all the fans too. And I can't wait to see, you know, all the fans here in Malaysia. So it's going to be super fun.
It's bad. Like, you guys have like created a possibility for people to become singers. Like, back then, like, how do you, you don't become singers like just out of your bedroom, right? But you guys did it. And so people are like, oh, now I can do it. And that's why I think that's why there's so much more space for people to be like, oh, I'm a self-produced Spotify backroom artist, you know? Have you guys gotten stories of people coming up to be like, hey, you're my inspiration. Hey, I've watched you when I was young. Like, what's that been like for you guys?
It's really inspiring. Anytime, it doesn't get old. I'll say that it never gets old hearing somebody say, you know, I used to watch you when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I started watching you in college, and I was watching you through my studies and my finals, and now I'm a doctor. And it's like, wow, you've been riding with us. And it's like, you're welcome, you know, all that study music.
Yeah.
But it's always so amazing every time to hear that somebody has been listening for so long.
Yeah. Also, another thing, it's funny because a lot of times they'll see you doing these shows and they think, oh, you're like professional. You do this and stuff. You know, like, we come from like webcams, you know, in our parents' house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that was like, we didn't have the training. It's like, we kind of just like thankful for like the university shows that we used to have in the beginning that gave us these opportunities to have these shows. We were learning along the way, and you have all these people. Oh my gosh. You know, you're an inspiration, and you're just like, I'm still trying to figure it out, but thank you. You know, like, I'm still always trying to figure it out, you know, but honestly, like, for somebody like, I'm introverted and stuff like that, you know, like, a lot of times I'm just used to like making the songs, writing the songs and putting it out. So then the live aspect of having to do it on stage sometimes is pretty scary to me, you know, it's crazy.
Jeremy Passions would be scared of the stage.
It's for real. I'm just being like transparent about it, but it's like, and then you hear somebody that say, like, you know, like, you helped me through like some hard times.
Yeah.
Your song helped me through like the hardest time. Or, you know, like, your song was my wedding song. You know, it's like, and then you realize that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go out of my skin to like to bring that kind of feeling for somebody, even though I'm not comfortable in my own skin to do it. You know, so I think like it's a beautiful thing to remind you, that's right, your music does make a difference in people's lives somewhere out there, you know, and it's worth it to do it.
It's mad. So, it's that's beautiful.
You help me get that girl.
I met my wife.
And some of these people are actually married or about to have a wedding, and there's like, you're the reason why we're together.
Oh, and my stuff. Goodness.
Yeah, because we did a bunch of meet and greets on the last tour, and people telling us their stories, their love stories.
Dude, I love that,
just incredible stuff.
Or like, I met my wife at your show.
Exactly.
Man, it's incredible how talented you guys are in like proportion to how humble you are. It doesn't make sense. I know a lot of people who are not very humble in proportion to the lack of talent they have. And it's crazy. So it's refreshing. Hey, speaking about refreshing, let's get another snack.
Oh, wow.
We're going to check out snack number two.
Here we go.
Thank you to our
sponsors. This is one of my favorite ones. Okay. This is called, what's this called?
They're also
Gem biscuits. So they are called Gem biscuits because
they look like gem. They look
the
like
icing on top looks like precious stones. That's the reason.
Go
for it. Oh, pass it over here. Yeah.
Oh, these are good.
Like it?
Icing?
Yeah. It's simple. Simple.
It reminds me of simple.
Yeah.
Do you guys have Lucky Charms?
I was just gonna say Lucky Charms.
Like the, as the a cereal?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. But we bring them in
together in one bite.
Marshmallows.
Would you eat this with like milk?
Yeah.
Yes.
For this would be
1,000%.
Hey man, I think we developed a new recipe today.
We might have this something like that.
Guys, take it home. Take it home with you.
They're like,
this one's like, people break off the icing to eat it on its own, and people throw away the biscuits. I do that.
That's how I eat Lucky Charms. I eat all the
regular stuff. Eat the marshmallows.
The regular sugar there, man. Man, I want to ask you guys a little bit more personal questions. What are some of your favorite memories when you think about your own modern nostalgia growing up or being sort of like, I guess, being someone who's a little bit different, being someone who has talents and skills that are slightly different from the average human being. You guys sing really well, just in case crazy y'all question. Didn't know. Yeah.
That's a crazy question.
I don't know about going that far back as to where like, but I do remember seeing these guys when at the very beginning of like all of our careers, and I was, yeah, completely starstruck, especially by these two and this guy. Like I'm one of them. Like I was one of the people that was like, dang, I could maybe do that too. Yeah. And, I never stopped, and now we're just here together today. It's pretty bananas.
That's crazy. Anyone go
the same way as Mike? Like, I saw these guys growing up too, just like what you were saying earlier, and I was just like, let me give it a shot too. Just see what happens, and look what happened. You know what I mean? So I'm just honored to be around.
That's,
you know,
crazy, dude. These guys. Like even in the same, like in the same room. That's that kind of stories that you guys are sharing. That's mad, dude.
Yeah,
we're all fans of each other for sure.
Yep.
Early
on, the first time I ever saw Jeremy, it was the first time I ever heard him was on a website called Zanga.
Oh yeah,
and people used to go really wild with the HTML. They probably don't even know what HTML codes are, but like all the coding and stuff. And the first time I'd seen one of his songs, It was on somebody's page, and when it played, I was like, "This guy is incredible." And I was started to play music at the time, so I was feeling like wildly intimidated by how good he was. But it was so cool to like hear somebody who was not on the radio be so incredibly talented, and so to be like to have a best friend who's that amazing and humble and talented for as long as I can remember is so cool.
And I got to say, so I've known Gabe since I was 16 years old, like that was around the time I actually first wrote Lemonade, one of my songs. And I was in high school. I think I was a junior. You were probably a senior in high school. And we were at like a talent show. And I remember being so freaking intimidated. And I was like, didn't I headline that show? Like the last part of the show, whatever. And I was so intimidated because, I mean, for one, good looking dude. He like smooth, like the way he talks to people is so freaking smooth. The way he plays guitar and sings, everything was just like so awesome. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, why am I like singing? Why am I last, you know, like for this show or whatever? Anyways, it's definitely so cool to see just other people, especially during that time. It wasn't like a defined industry. Like it was just, we were just kids, you know, on webcams and stuff. And I was like, that dude looks like me a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or another Asian out there, you know, doing it.
So. A little lighter brown. But
a little lighter brown, yeah. little caramel. Cappuccino, yeah.
Yeah, mocha, right? Caramel. But,
you know, it was just, those are kind of some of the nostalgic memories that I had of that. And it was inspiring to me, you know, to see that.
That's wild, dude. Anyone else on this side? Any more? That's good?
Yes, cool. It all, dude. Yeah. Well said, gentlemen.
I want to talk about some of your solo projects. So, Jesse, you just released, or currently is coming out, Scary as Hell, but I Love the Thrill.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
First come on. Solo project after over a decade?
For that, this is my first actual collection of songs that I'm putting out, because I've been so single-driven the last few years. I put out my first producer single in 2019. But this is my first EP, solo EP, in quite some time. And it's the first time I'm like not doing like collaborations. So it's like, it's definitely scary as hell. But I do love the thrill. That's our first single, Chase, just came out.
Yeah.
My second single, Growing Old With You, comes out.
First March?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, it's real soon. Are we getting a sneak peek of that tomorrow at the show?
No, new songs. Okay. Yeah, just the classics. Okay, hey.
I had to ask. It's all cool. Over to Michael. Oh, I mean, honestly, can we talk about Simple Things for a bit?
Come on now.
Help me. That is, how did that happen? How did you just wake up and be like, yep, I got this?
This is a funny story, dude.
I don't even know, really.
And it's available on the plane to listen to.
You saw that.
That's wild, man.
I don't know, man. I think I just wrote it and didn't expect anything of it. I was just like, they're putting out songs, so I'm going to try to put out some songs. And it was part of a whole album, and I hate most of the songs on the album, but like...
He recorded all the vocals for this album with me. It was like 10 songs, and he did it all in like 3 hours. It was the craziest vocal session of my life.
It was a tight schedule, and then, one day, I don't know, I just started seeing more and more like comments, and then I saw that it had like, I guess, taken off in Korea. And that was kind of the start of it. And I didn't even, that was like before K-pop and stuff, like before Blackpink and all that cool stuff. So it's pretty surprising. And I guess it just kind of made its way over to all the other Asian countries and probably brought me here. So yeah, dude, I'm pretty, pretty thankful for that.
Last week, Yesterday came out. Was that?
Just the newest single called Yesterday with Patrick He's on. And it's kind of dancey and fun, and we all been humming
it. He's a busy man, man.
He is.
Patrick is, he's next dude. For sure.
I love that. Also, I realized on this this sofa is the Strawberry Soju boys.
Those boys.
You guys know that song?
I remember listening to that, not knowing who it was, because Spotify has been treating me well, man.
Radio's been treating us well.
Soph and I, so we were just in the car, and we heard it come on, and we were like, damn, that's a good arrangement. And then the vocals kicked in, and I was like, damn, that's some good vocals. And then I was like, oh my Lord,
thank you, man.
This is blessing me, man. And for real, we stopped the car. I'm like, who is this? I'm like, oh my Lord.
You didn't know?
For real?
Hence modern nostalgia. What I was talking about earlier.
I shat my pants.
Honestly,
you know, because you know Spotify does that thing where you like one song, they start suggesting you similar stuff.
Shout out.
And then when
shout
we looked at all of the songs we were like listening to, we're like, hold up. They all collaborate?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right, that's mad. Strawberry Soju, how did you... Who decided that that was the best flavor?
Yeah, so I actually wrote Strawberry Soju, like just trying to make a Toto type song, like something funky, like in the vein of the 80s.
Yep.
I wrote the chorus, and me, Albert, and Michael were just having like a co-write sesh. And I was stuck on the verses, and I was like, you know what? You guys should write the verses for me.
Oh.
And then they ended up writing the verses, and Michael sounded so great on that verse. So I gave him verse one and verse two. And then we had this bridge...
I don't deserve you.
Which actually, got, the bridge is the part of the song that went viral on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the rest is history. Albert's, these guys are just great.
Albert's
they
falsetto.
Me they got to the finish line for me.
That song doesn't work without Albert's falsetto.
Yes, his falsetto was incredible.
Insane,
on that.
But, honestly.
It's definitely one of those blessings for sure.
Oh my
goodness. One of those songs that just kind of took off. And I was actually scared that no one was going to like receive it well because it's so different from like all the stuff I've ever put out. It's more funky and stuff.
Yeah.
But people like Soju, I guess.
You never know.
Dude, there's a live version of that on Spotify.
And it's live in Toronto.
Dude, we played that for a bit. I was like, nope, I'm not going to listen to this. I want to hear this live. So we ended up listening to the whole day.
Radical.
It goes hard live.
It's so good.
It goes hard live.
Albert, Cheeky just dropped in January.
Sure.
With Patrick as well.
Also
written by Michael. It's quite a bop.
Dude, thank you.
How was that writing for you? And also, I mean, just a general question. Feel free to interject on this one. How busy are you in terms of like writing? And then you're like, I need to pipeline this one, and then there's the next one coming out. Like, what's the release schedule like? You can answer that later, but unlike Cheeky, for you, how was that like coming off from your, again, like the tour last year? Was that something you kind of put together on the road, or was like, I had this for a while now?
No, me and Pat wrote that a little towards the end of last year, and I remember when we were, sometimes the process in writing could be different, but we tend to come up with the music first. And build it up and produce it and, you know, figure out the chords and everything and then see how it makes us feel. And then we were thinking that it made us kind of feel a little silly, a little lighthearted.
These guys are always silly. That's the thing.
And we kind of just decided to write about how, I mean, if you haven't heard the song yet, it's about you're the nice guy, you're trying to get at the girl, and for some reason acting nice isn't working, so maybe you could act a little cheeky, which is a little rude, a little messed
a little
up.
You know?
So, you know, so we decided to write on that take and, you know, just have fun with it. Michael wrote on it too, like you said. The whole process was fun. We did a whole music video on that.
Yeah.
We did it at a school. I was a nerd and I got bullied by Pat, who was such a jock, in that video. And it was kind of like, you know, a flipping character for me. I also became kind of asshole looking too in the video. So it was just a fun project. We had a great team putting that video together. And your question was about the whole process. I mean, we can all relate to this, but the whole release thing is just a whole thing. It could depend. Sometimes we decide to keep it easy and just shoot light content at home in our own bedrooms or studios or backyards.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we do a whole production where we go to a space and have a whole set, cast,
yeah,
director. And it just depends on what we're feeling. Sometimes the ones with less work do the best. Yeah.
All of our low budget videos are the ones that have like over a million views.
I agree with that one, man. It's crazy. Oh my goodness. And like for you guys on this side, like, do you guys actively reach out to each other to collaborate in terms of like working together?
We're all in the same group chat and we're doing more than just talking about
collaborating.
Sometimes
we just throw ideas at each other. We're like, oh dude, you would sound great on this. Like I had Sway.
I like that.
Gabe sing on Sway. Mm-hmm, that was just a random like John Mayer, like James Taylor S type beat. And I just thought Gabe was going to be perfect on it. And he killed that verse. I was like, actually, I sent it as a working demo. And Gabe was like, I have an idea. And I wasn't actually thinking about him as a feature.
Yep.
And then he sent me a verse. And I was like, yep, we're doing this. And yeah, I mean, I was honored too, because it's Gabe.
I love that.
Dude, please, Gabe on the dead.
The honor's all mine.
Speaking of, go ahead.
I was gonna say one interesting thing about it is that we don't actually get to see each other so often, and I think maybe part of us tries to start one of those collaborations, like you said, so that we can actually just spend time together, physical.
Yeah, I love it. Totally. Oh,
that's fact. I need Jesse on this song because I need like a Jesse. Few days with Jesse just for vibes.
Absolutely. Cup filler days.
Yeah.
I feel like you can really tell that you guys like each other, because otherwise it'd just be that one song. And he'd be like, hey, thanks, bro. It's a great run.
Thanks for the million streams, man. thanks, bro.
I'm going to move over to this side of the sofa. Gabe and Jeremy, you guys are doing a tour right after this in April? Yes. Yeah, so tell us about that one.
Yeah, it's called the Parallels Tour. And we use the word parallels because... Our lives have really paralleled each other's for like ever, you know, since we started music, all the way through our journey to becoming, you know, husbands and becoming dads and still continuing to do music.
Yeah.
So we're hitting a couple of places.
Yeah, we're going to hit up Sydney and Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth. Manila, which is, you know, so cool to come back to the motherland, you know, and everything.
We're Filipino.
Yeah, we're Filipino, but yeah, so
Pinoy.
Yeah, and it's just really cool, honestly, just to do tours like this with these guys and with Gabe as friends. Like, it just makes such a huge difference. I was just telling him, like, I've had the best time for 20 years of traveling and going to different countries. I probably had the best time and felt the best traveling with these guys.
Wow,
all 20 years of traveling and doing music. So
definitely, yeah,
it's so fun.
It's high praise, man. Gabe, your new song, The Answer, end of last year. How would you sort of like summarize maybe like where you are at in writing and releasing The Answer versus way back when you were seeing like The Circle of Life and, you know, part of your world in your room? I love that. That was one of my favorite covers. But like, how would you sort of like, if those were 2 points in a timeline, what's that journey been like? And with The Answer, like, how has that come across?
It's interesting. I'm quite introverted. And so a lot of this journey, especially if you're talking about from the beginning of YouTube, was because I didn't have a ton of friends. You know, I have all these emotions and all these feelings and things and not a ton of places where I can express them.
Yeah.
So it started coming out in music. And a lot of that journey was done solo, writing solo, performing on YouTube by yourself in your room, all that stuff. And so if we fast forward to today, being able to write with Patrick, The Answer, the song is about anything or anyone that takes you to the next level of who you are. And to be able to collaborate has changed, it's literally changed my life, you know, to go from a place where music, as much as you love it, it could be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Pat to just be like, hey, what do you think of this? And I was like, actually, I freaking love that. And I just had that as soon as I heard the hook, I was like, this feels like somebody that you would call home.
Yeah.
And so the whole song was written around this idea that there is a person that, you know, whether it's God, whether it's your friends, your family, your girlfriend, your dog, mm-hmm. Those things can be the answer. And yeah. I feel like that song, it fulfilled a part of me that I didn't know needed fulfilling.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have experienced that without collaborating with Patrick.
That is, wow. Can we get the band back on? That is amazing. Yeah, that is, wow.
Yeah, we need the band.
Hey, that's all the time we have today. That's, yeah, I know. That's crazy, man.
The last word.
I also like how simple you guys like express the whole journey and process. And it makes it like, wow. That's really, that's something else, man. Don't do that, man. That's really good. Jeremy, you are, I'm going to be honest, one of my first songs I've heard from Jeremy, besides all the covers back in the day, was your version of Never Change. Honestly, I think I was on that song for at least 3 months, just picking apart every part of it. Like the second verse, when you had your harmonies come in, breaking that down. I was that is insane.
Appreciate that.
How has your journey been coming out? Again, you're saying that you're an introvert. Kind of like braving all that out, coming out with your best friends, hanging out, going for tours. And then your songs that you've been putting out, Lemonade, you know, all this love for all your music. How has that shaped your vision of what you thought you'd be as a musician from when you started?
You mean that, like, at the songs that I've been putting out? Oh, man. Well, for one, I didn't know I would, like, be doing music as a career. It kind of just, I wrote Lemonade when I was, like, 16. So then, you know, when the internet came out, I didn't expect, I literally, like, put it, like, I forgot even where it was. It was just out there, you know, and then I would get messages from people. So it kind of, the artist side of things kind of fell on my lap. You know, and then I had the little like YouTube era where I was doing videos. But honestly, I didn't know that I would still be doing music like till this day, you know, even as like a father and a husband and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, why am I still doing music? It's kind of crazy. But if I can date it back, you know, I think about working with Jesse, you know, on my 2011 album with the ukulele version of Lemonade and all these other songs that came out. And that was like my first experience, you know, ever doing something that was like, you know, out of the realm of the YouTube era. And I think it was really the bridge to the reason why I do music and still write till this day was having the opportunity to work with somebody, you know, that was so experienced and just like an amazing dude, you know? So, like it's so different from how it was before, you know, YouTube was an era, you know, a lot of people are saying, how come you're not on YouTube anymore? It's like, I've been putting like albums out, you know, like the past 10, 11 years, you know, I write original music, you know, so I feel like that's who I am. I'm a songwriter. You know, and that's what I've always kind of, and now I kind of embrace that about the world. Yes.
Yeah, so. Yes, man. Oh man. Guys, we're going to try another Malaysian snack.
All right.
Right.
Which one's this one?
Vanilla wafer.
They look like fortune cookies, not folded.
Oh, it's on the back. Yeah. No. Oh.
They're like little taquitos or roll tacos.
It's little hats.
Little snails that are flattened. little snail shells.
Oh, sorry. We didn't rate the gem biscuits. Going to do a quick rating on the gem biscuits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give that a 7.
Okay, nice.
That was better.
Six.
7.
7.
Yes, 7.
7.
This is basically 8, a fortune cookie.
Nice. Goddamn, 4 to 7.
How's this one? This one?
It's like a fortune cookie. Let's try it.
Yeah. I think this one's really simple.
Not as sweet as a fortune cookie.
I think the budget did not
I'll give this a 3.5 for me. Probably a 3.
I'll do another 4.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
3 areas.
All right, not too bad.
Jumping off the page for me.
We're going to blaze through and try the other one as well. Which one's this one? I have no idea.
These are wafers.
Should we cleanse our palate? Have some ginger?
Those are like vanilla wafers.
I like how these are like vanilla biscuit. Wafers right here. Mmm. I like the texture.
Mmm.
A little more punch.
Mmm.
You save the best for last. Is that what happened?
Where are we at on the scale?
I'm going to go with a 4.5 for this.
4.5, hey.
Better texture, but the flavor was very similar to the last one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say like
six.
I think six.
Wow.
I think
six. Wow.
Yeah. I think the flavor
is there
good.
A reason just
I think you're getting harsher.
It's the sweetest one.
I think I'm getting harsher. Yeah.
It's got that syrupy kind of caramelized.
You guys are going low, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a six to me.
Here's interesting. It starts out as like a 5.5, and then after a while, as it's in your mouth, it shoots up to like a 7.
Bowl of cereal, you know, kind of vibe.
Yeah,
the sugar just gets stuck in your mouth.
Like, wow, this is all these would be good with milk.
I think so. Hey, we actually just gave you guys cereal in packets.
Yeah. All these would be good.
It's pretty cool. It's very interesting. Yeah. Do you guys have similar snacks? Like, I mean, in America,
all the Philippines are like these. Vanilla wafers are very close to this. Filipino snacks are actually pretty similar to this as well.
Yeah. Just biscuits with like no real sort of like direction. No direction. That's what they have. Exactly biscuits. Like 3 out of the 4 biscuits, I'm like, I don't know what these are.
Yeah, they're all having a midlife crisis. The, all these snacks.
They all remind me of the game in Squid Games.
The, I was just about to say that. Like this.
For sure.
That one.
I'm about to start licking your tongue.
Please, I'm scared. Pop
has a needle so we can just draw on him.
I would get the umbrella for sure.
I want to bring it to a close before we end. What is some of your, if we're going to go around, what's some advice for young budding musicians who are watching TikTok today and realizing, maybe I need to put out this much content. Yeah. Everyone needs to have a dance to remember my song. How do you, what is your personal take on that?
Yeah, for me, it's definitely, I always say this, but it's perseverance. I mean, I've been doing this for about 15 years and I feel like the best music of my life is just coming out now. And I'm really feeling like I'm just getting discovered right now as a 36-year-old musician.
Yes, man.
But the thing is, it's like my love for this is just like what's been driving the perseverance and like how the longevity of it.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep at it. If you truly love what you do, your time will come. For sure.
Damn, I love that. That's crazy.
I have a couple ones, like thoughts that come to mind. And one of them for sure would be is to keep it genuine. Like if you genuinely love the song, then you should try to focus on that and not so much like how the world's going to receive it. Because you don't really know what's going to happen after you release that song.
You don't decide what the hits are.
Yeah, yeah. No. And another, the second one is just don't stop. Because like, there's an analogy where it's like, if you can dig and dig, and then if you stop digging, like that fat diamond could be like the next scoop of dirt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So drop 10 songs and you know, maybe they'll all fail, but the 11th would could just skyrocket.
Period. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Perseverance is, I think, what got us all here today and what keeps us still going. So, but another thing that comes to mind is, just the power of surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Wow. And I feel like I'm not here without these guys, you know what I mean? And like, these guys are my best friends and you know what I mean? It's just, I feel like the music just comes naturally. Yeah. You know, our friendship is already just what's there. And if you surround yourself with the right people, what's the saying? You are who your 5 best friends are, or whatever.
You're the average
of your 5 best friends.
I love that.
I must be cool as hell.
I'm getting advice right now. I'm like, yes. I'm gonna use that.
And yeah, so like, you know, I've just surrounded myself with these guys, and you know, things have just fallen in place naturally.
I love that. That's mad, dude.
That's beautiful. I think my biggest piece of advice would be just to follow your heart and trust your gut. Because I think it's easy to question that when you start to look around and you start to compare. Mm-hmm. The comparison kills. I think we all experience that. But as long as you trust where your heart's going and in the direction that it's headed, you will find your audience. Wow. And your audience will find you.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would say is finish your songs, which kind of ties into that. Yeah. Because like you can start, you start a song and you love it. And after a while, it's like, I don't know, should I finish this?
Yeah.
You should, because your next song might be the one or the following, but you can't get to the next one if you don't finish this one. Yeah.
It's very practical. I like that.
For sure. I would say that my advice would be, I think right now, because you know, the social media is like, there's so much pressure where you feel, I guess it's pressure you put on yourself, right? So I feel like it's recognizing that the passion or love that you have for your art, whether that's music or anything like that, is that you have to love it first, right? So a lot of times we always go, I hope people like or love what I do. And then you search for that validation in the comments And it's like so fleeting, right? Because you're just like, you just want people to say, oh, it's great, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't get it, like, is that when you give up, you know? So I think it's just realizing that it's your first love before anybody else. You got to love it before anybody else loves it.
Wow.
And also, I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot, everybody has stuff going on. So I feel like scheduling your joy, finding time to schedule it, as opposed to just saying, I hope inspiration is going to hit me during these times. It's like, no, schedule your joy. Write a crappy song. You know what I'm saying? Like, just do it.
Yeah.
It's better than not doing anything at all. So that's kind of my advice.
Dang, man. You guys need to write a book, man. For real. Next tour, there's going to be a book sale going on at the same time.
Man. Nostalgia, the novel. Memoirs.
Please. The memoir nostalgia. There needs to be a collective handbook that's given out at every concert. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys want to check out these beautiful gentlemen and their voices, go on over to their Spotify pages. All of it is going to be in the description box below. If you guys have any questions for them, don't ask me, ask them on their patience. And hey, if you guys like this episode, you know what to do. If you don't, it's all right. We'll see you guys in the next one. God bless and peace out.
Oi, sit down.